The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
God wants you to live a life that's big, a life that's bigger than yourself and inspired by the vision he has just for you. The challenge is that sometimes we get stuck on the journey. Things become stagnant and keep us from living up to our full potential. We know that sometimes, you know, things need to change, but we just don't know what or how. When this happens, the big question we must ask ourselves is, how do I get unstuck? How do I break free from these limitations? To help you identify where you are on your journey to living big, I've developed an assessment tool that will reveal where you are and where you're stuck. Based on your individual results, this tool will point you toward resources that are going to help you remove barriers and keep you moving forward. This assessment is completely free. Not only that, once you complete the assessment, you'll be directed to a page where you can claim a free copy of my brand new book, 120 Minutes to Live Big. Don't settle for mediocrity, live big. Let's get started by visiting canilivebig.com and let's visit it today. That's canilivebig.com.
You were made to think big, do big, live big. But tomorrow can be bigger. Just grow.
Welcome to Live Big with Dr. Derek Greer, Senior Pastor of Grace Church in Dumfries, Virginia, where we are reaching the lost, empowering the hurting, assimilating the lonely, and leading our generation for Christ. Visit gracechurchva.org for this message and to find out more about Grace and how you can grow in Christ. We serve a big God and believe that His Word calls for us to live big. So our hope is that this broadcast inspires you to live the big, full life that God has for you. Here's Dr. Greer.
Today's title is going to be Living Out Loud, Living Out Loud. So open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, beginning with the 11th verse. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem. Jesus was taking his final journey to the nation's capital, Jerusalem. He was only five chapters away from Gethsemane. It was getting close to midnight in his life, if you will. And the Bible had already said in the book of Luke that he had set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. He wanted to get to where he was going and get the job done. And it was during this time that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, Jesus intentionally actually traveled along the borders of the two countries. He actually chose a route that he knew he would be very likely to encounter the despised Samaritans. There was a wall of bitterness between Jew and Samaritans that went back over 550 years. When Ezra began or came back from Babylonian captivity to rebuild the temple, the Samaritans opposed him. And that opposition was remembered. And also the children of Israel rejected them because they did not embrace all the books of the Bible. And also they were a mixed heritage and they didn't commit to the law as Moses had laid out. So their response was to build a new religion, if you will, and they built a temple on Mount Gerizim. So you have these two different religions, both relied on Moses, but again, opposition and hostility between these two people groups lasted for a very, very, very century after century after century, a very long time. Verse 12. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. Evangelist Beth Moore, how many of you have ever seen her on television? Okay, yeah, quite a few people. She's a great evangelist. She tells the story of her first visit to India. She finally had the privilege of being around a modern-day leper colony. You know, she always wanted to minister to lepers as Jesus ministered to lepers in the Bible. This was a dream of hers, and this trip was her first opportunity to get it done. But after she got on the plane and she got to the airport, to her hotel, she was a few miles actually from the leper colony, but the smell of the colony still reached her room and permeated the entire area, even though she was miles away. She got up the courage to go to the gates of the leper colony several times. And she tried to, you know, she looked in, she saw the suffering, and she tried to do her best to go in. But the smell totally overwhelmed her. And her thinking was, how can I tell these people about the love of God with me being sick to my stomach? She tried three times to go in the door of that leper colony, but she couldn't work up the stomach. So in this passage, to be sure, these 10 lepers assaulted the senses in every way possible. It was not just one of them or two, there was 10 of them. They didn't have access to modern facilities and showers and the like. You can only imagine the smell of sickness on their skin and boils and infection. What Jesus smelled and saw as these 10 men approached him. It says there in this village, 10 men who were lepers. Again, leprosy often had oozing sores, tumors. Over time, it would disfigure the bones, twist the limbs, actually, and curl the fingers, and created a loss of sensation at the end of nerves, which often led to the loss of fingers. And sometimes it wasn't the disease that caused the fingers to be lost. It was the fact, as the leper slept, a rat came and began to chew his finger, and he or she did not feel it. And so, incredible infection, toes and fingers missing. Sometimes because of infection, whole parts, limbs of their body would eventually fall off, or at least the skin will. This was a very, 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 very difficult situation for these 10 men. It says, these 10 men who were lepers, they stood afar off. The Mosaic law required that every leper stayed at least 100 paces from a healthy person. And if they were in the vicinity of any healthy people, they had to cry out, unclean, 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 and warn everybody that they were present. Now, Moses did not prescribe this because he was being mean or he was picking on any group of people. The reason he did this is because leprosy is a very contagious disease. And the modern medicine had not been created yet. They didn't have many of our conveniences, antibiotics, etc. And what Moses had to do was allow the few to suffer to save the masses. He did not want leprosy to become an epidemic as it had in other parts of the world. Verse 13. And it says, and these 10 men lifted up their voices and they said something that at our reading, because we don't speak Greek, we could miss the original import here. But I'm going to break it down to you exactly what they said. They said, Jesus, but then they use this next word, master. This word, translated master, was extremely rare in the New Testament. It was a word used typically for a commander, an owner, in other places in the Bible, particularly in the Septuagint. And it emphasized the authority of the individual that was given the title. We see that the initial key to the miracle we are about to read about is the fact that all 10 of these men were willing to submit to Jesus's authority. Here's something I know. Everyone wins. Everyone wins when everyone submits. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus. But they didn't stop at Jesus. By calling him master, they were saying, be our commander. Be our general. Be our owner. Be our overseer. Here's something I learned in life. God is only responsible for things done under his command and under his direction. When we operate our relationships, our finances, and life in general, apart from God's word, we cannot hold God responsible. This is really, really an important statement I'm about to say. We are free to choose in life our actions, but we are not free to choose our consequences. And many times, by virtue of our choices, we have signed up for the consequences. I don't follow people around to try to make you do right. I'm not spying on you. It's none of my business. But what I do know is that what you do will eventually show up in your life. I want to say it one more time. You are free to do what you want. I will love you. God will love you. This church will love you. You're free to choose your actions, but you are not free to choose the consequences. I felt a light bulb just go off someone's head. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Obviously, they heard Jesus was a healer. Because instead of asking for money, they asked for mercy. Mercy is the foundation of our covenant with God. You need to call on it, stand on it, and trust it. So when he saw them, he said to them, go. Now, he gives a command. Why? They just addressed Jesus as master, general, owner, superintendent, Lord. So he wanted to immediately test the authenticity and the genuineness of their confession. If it can't be tested, it ought not be trusted. Does that make sense? There is no faith without obedience. Actually, many of the epistles begin by stating we are called to the obedience of the faith. We don't use that word obedience anymore because it seems too harsh. It seems a little old-fashioned. But actually, faith, all it is obedience to the living God from the heart. He said, listen, y'all call me Lord, you call me Master, you said you're under my authority, let me test it. Go. When God gives you a direction, it's a test. When you understand something new from the scripture, the light comes on, it's a test. The lordship of Christ in your life is being tested every time you get a new direction. So right now, you say, okay, you call me Lord, good. Let's see. Go, show yourselves to the priests, the very people that put you out of the community. I need you to go back to them. But here's the deal. Why should they go back to the priests and Jesus hadn't even healed them yet? This doesn't make sense. Now, I go back to the priest and the priest can declare me clean, you know, if I was made well. But I'm missing an arm here. I'm missing six fingers and I still got the boil on my arm. And you're telling me to go to the priest. But these lepers were willing to follow Jesus without explanation, any sign. They just trusted him. And this is important. This is something else I've learned in life that I believe it just helps for all of us to embrace this truth. God's power is not released until it's obeyed. The power to save is in this room. Jesus already went to the cross. The Holy Spirit is here. All the angels of heaven are here. God's just waiting for you to obey, to call on that name above every name. And when you obey, when you call, that's when God acts. There's power in every circuit. It's a circuit. What do you call them? Thing. Yeah. Thing on the wall. Socket. Thank you. Yeah. There's power in each socket. But you cannot access that power until you plug in. Obedience is how we plug into the power of God. And if you don't plug in, you won't have the power. So Jesus said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. This next verse is really, really big. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Look at the text. The healing did not just happen at Jesus' word. They didn't just hear a sermon and everything was made okay. Neither was everything made okay at his touch. He didn't lay hands on them. This miracle happened at his instruction. And there are some miracles that will not happen in our lives until we submit to his instructions. The Bible says, as they went, not at the moment Jesus spoke, it's important, not at the moment they even met the priests, but as they did what Jesus asked. I can't predict whether it's going to be a short walk for you or a long walk for you. But I do know if you get to walking, you get to doing what God told you to do, it will happen. It doesn't say what point in the journey. It doesn't say they were 10 miles away, 15, 20, or 3 days away. But at some point, as they followed the instructions, it happened. And I, you know, with healing and blessing God's hand, it's all by faith. And if God did it first, it wouldn't be by faith. Faith is spelled T-R-U-S-T. And he's saying, listen, if you trust me, you got to obey in order to plug in to the power that can be yours. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, just one, he returned. This one man couldn't even finish his journey without first saying thank you. He said, I see you, priest. I'll get to the priest. But the high priest, I see something in this Jesus. I can't go a step further without saying thank you to Jesus. And we got to get to the place. You know what, Lord? I'm not going a step further without saying thank you, Jesus, for the air, the lungs I have, the eye, the strength of my... Lord, I thank you. This man, he actually disobeyed the letter of the law, if you will, because he said, go to the priest. But he caught the spirit of it. And he said, you know what? That priest can wait because I see the real one. Stay with me. I heard this story, and I think it bears retelling. Years ago, a large dog went to a butcher shop. And when he got into the shop, well, actually, he was carrying a wallet in his mouth. And when he got to the shop, there was a glass, you know, butcher meat case. And he immediately laid down the wallet in front of the meat case. And the butcher saw this, so, you know, he kind of humored the dog. So he jokingly asked, you know, what is it, boy? Want to buy some meat? And, you know, he just kind of kept up, you know, with his humor here. He's like, well, dog, you know, what kind of meat? Liver, bacon, steak. And when he said steak, the dog went woof, woof. Twice. It got the butcher's attention. Then he said, well, how much steak do you want? A half pound or 1 pound? When he said 1 pound, the dog went woof, woof. So the butcher is amazed. He wrapped the pound of steak, took the money out of the wallet. And because, you know, this dog was just so incredible, He you know, took off his smock. He had to follow this dog to find out, you know, who he was bringing this steak to. So he walked a couple blocks away, and he got to an apartment building, and the dog walked up 3 flights of steps. And then he went to a door and started scratching on the outside. And the butcher was down the hall watching the whole thing. And after the dog scratched for a couple moments, the door swung open, and a very angry man began to shout at the dog. And the butcher yelled, stop. This is the most intelligent animal I have ever seen. You know, the guy acted like actually he was going to hurt the dog. The man said, intelligent? This is the third time this week this dog has forgot his key. Okay. I'm going somewhere with this. Some people will always find a reason to be ungrateful. No matter how great the deed, they're going to find fault. I mean, you can walk on water, but you didn't have to walk that way. You hear what I'm saying? And this was the case with the owner, but not this Samaritan. And with a loud voice, this man had spent, I'm sure, much of his adult life having to holler at 100 paces, unclean, unclean. Matter of fact, this man probably only knew how to talk out loud at this point in his life. But what's amazing is we lived out loud when we were unclean. Man, we'd have all type of uncleanness in our mouths, in our hands, in our feet, and we would live out loud. But then God heals us. God touches us and changes us. And then when it comes to talking about Jesus, all of a sudden the cat got our tongue. All of a sudden we don't have anything to say. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. And you know, but we were so loud, so boisterous. You know, in the past. It says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. His gratitude was not just in his heart, not just in his mouth, but in his deeds. We got to say it loud. I'm saved and I'm proud. How many go far enough back to recognize that? Say it loud. There you go. Verse 16. I'm saved and I'm proud. And the leper fell down on his face at his feet. To fall on the ground was the highest way to give homage and respect in the ancient world. This guy was all in. He didn't come to church trying to do cute. He was serious about his Jesus. Again, he fell down at his feet on his face, giving him thanks. If you really love him, you'll find a way to show it. But we got to do more than just feeling it. We got to demonstrate it. We got to show it. We got to illustrate it. This man didn't just say, well, Lord, I feel it in my heart. He was demonstrative about what was going on the inside. But here's the rub. And he was a Samaritan. This was the man out of the group with the highest hurdle to get over to return to Jesus. Now, each of the 10 men were separated from Jesus because of their leprosy. But this one man wasn't just separated because of his leprosy. He was separated because of his nationality. And the man with the greatest justification to stay away from Jesus was the only one to return to give him glory. And the point is, for those of us who know him, what's our excuse? So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed?
You are listening to the Live Big broadcast with Dr. Derek Greer. We pray that you are inspired to think big, do big, and live big. Our goal is to compel you to live in a way that overflows and blesses those around you. Find out more about this broadcast, Grace Church, and Dr. Greer at gracechurchva.org. Dr. Greer and his wife, Pastor Yermutu, invite you to meet them at Grace Church in Dumfries, Virginia, for vibrant worship, Bible teaching, and fellowship each Sunday and Wednesday. Click gracechurchva.org for service times, directions, and much more. Again, that's gracechurchva.org. This has been Live Big with Dr. Derek Greer. Watch the Live Big broadcast Monday through Friday and every Sunday. Check your local TV listings or visit gracechurchva.org for the broadcast schedule. That's all the time we have, but until next time, remember, you have what it takes in Christ to live big.
A life of influence isn't achieved overnight. It is built through the consistent application of wisdom and hard work. Dr. Derek Greer's brand new book, 120 Minutes to Live Big, provides you with 120 bite-sized nuggets of insight on practical topics such as marriage and finances, as well as wisdom for personal growth and leadership development. It will ask you penetrating questions to help you reflect and apply what you've learned. This book will stimulate self-examination and provide fuel for personal transformation. The best thing about it, Dr. Greer is offering this book to you absolutely free. That's right, a free copy of 120 Minutes to Live Big, mailed to you as a gift. However, that's not all. You will also get 30 days access to Dr. Greer's Growth Lab, a program designed to help you grow from good to great, from mediocre to extraordinary. It's our prayer that this gift leaves you with a burning desire to be better and become everything God wants you to be. So, if you want to live a life that overflows and blesses others, this gift is for you. Claim your free book and get free 30-day access to Dr. Greer's Growth Lab. Simply visit dgmfree.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.